Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, today we're considering a section in 1 Corinthians that has to do with spiritual gifts. And this has been a fascinating section for me to study, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, because it's really wrestling with, in the first century, the problem that people had of being amazed and the abuse of the sign gifts, tongue speaking, healings, and miracles. And the problem is no different today. We're obsessed with these things. We wonder about these things. These things are greatly abused today. And we're going to look today on Abounding Grace Radio at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at Paul's teaching on gifts and how we are to think as Christians about the church, about the gifts that God has given us, that we might rightly use them for the common good of the body. This is such an important section of Scripture for the Christian to not be caught up in all the wrong stuff. To not be caught up in all the supernatural sign gifts, which really we'll look at, have ceased with the apostolic era. We're going to look at the very ordinary way that God works in the life of His church through the gift, let's say today, as we look at, of love. This is going to be exciting for us as we look at God's design for the church and how we all are useful to the project as living stones being built up a spiritual edifice, a church of the living God to the praise of His glory. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. Do please download the podcast. We love when you write to us. It encourages us a great deal. There's a way to support us there online. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Or you can call us at 888-504-8805. Again, 888-504-8805. And on your smartphones, there is an app there, Abounding Grace Radio, for you to download and take the program with you to listen at your convenience. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. The message you are about to hear is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which I have titled Refusing to Accept Who We Should Be. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we hope this program today is a blessing to you. People have always had a difficult time understanding and accepting what Christianity really is. And that is because people always had a hard time accepting who Jesus is. You see this in the gospel ministry. The great confusion during His ministry, which is where I ended last time in John 7, where they were so caught up, even his own brothers, wanting Him to get out and make His glory known. You can't have this kind of power and not get out and make it known in the open so that everyone would see it. They wanted more from Him. They were frustrated with Him. Judas at one point snapped. Riding on the coattails of this rising star in Israel, he wasn't rising enough for Him. And so there was always some frustration over the perceived lack of glory. They had an idea of who the Messiah should be when He would come and what He would do and how He would show Himself to deliver the nation of Israel. And you'll notice in the gospel ministries that they were caught up with the signs that He could do.
But what bothered them is when he wouldn't do them on their terms, in their places. And he often spoke of this problem. He was a servant that had come to do the will of his father, not to be an independent actor. In many ways, if we're honest, we're frustrated with Christianity. We share the same kind of frustration. If we're going to be honest tonight, where's the power to all this? I mean it. I've been steadily asking that question in our study. Where is the power to all this? Where is the life to all of this? I mean, I want to see something. I want to experience something. I want to know that there's real power out there. I want to know the bliss of the Christian life as some people have described it to me. That corresponds with what I think Christianity should be. I want it to be powerful for me, and I want it to be powerful for my children. We're all worried about our children. And if I don't feel that, something's got to be wrong. It's got to be. We all are after religious experience to some degree. And we all struggle with that to some degree or another. In fact, in being a pastor now in a Reformed church and growing up in a Reformed church, this has been what I have noticed steadily in our tradition and something that we have struggled with among our own church members, a dissatisfaction, I've said this, with who we are. It's in us. We're a little frustrated if we're honest. And the single issue of the dissatisfaction really is that it feels like a powerless ministry. It's hard to be Reformed today. It really is. It's hard to be Reformed today when there are varieties of so-called ministries that are doing things that are much more popular, much more successful, and much more powerful with boundaries that no longer exist. It's just tough. But have you ever really thought through what's happening in our church world? It's not hard to pinpoint. At any given time, there's a church on top. Shelf life for churches today on top isn't very long, but at any given time, there's a church on top. Outwardly speaking, that ministry comes across to everyone as successful and powerful and popular. And what does that create among the churches? It puts a pressure on the churches. It puts a pressure that there's a desire to have the same perceived power. And what begins to happen? Well, you have churches that begin to reinvent themselves. They reinvent themselves to conform to that success, what seems to be working for the moment. And what really they become, and this is where I hope you see where I'm going with this tonight, what really they become are superficial copies of the top model. Superficial copies of the top model. I mean, think of it, and I'm just stating fact here. How does third wave Pentecostalism sweep through a Reformed church? That was the Christian Reformed church. How does that happen? How does Pentecostalism sweep through Roman Catholicism? Strange, isn't it? I mean, that doesn't make sense to people. Well, it's not so hard when you look at it this way. Everyone wants to experience life. Everyone wants to experience enthusiasm. And so they become copies of what appears to work. And in that way, you become a counterfeit of the false enthusiasm. That's why I've always said that Reformed people trying to be hip produces one of the most goofy environments that I've ever seen in my life. I mean it. It's fake. It's artificial. Because it's not who they are. I mean, it just doesn't work. It's like when I was a kid and there were white kids in school trying to be Mexican or black. You'd tell them, knock it off. You know, they didn't realize how they looked and what they were doing. And somebody needed to come alongside them and say, stop it. Well, we have just as much of a problem accepting who we are. We run the real tendency here to think that the power is found in the things that demonstrate the most enthusiasm, a very phenomenon in first century Corinth called enthusiasm, God within. getting access to God. If you understand what I'm describing, you understand what Paul's confronting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You really do. You get some insight into that. When Christ rose from the dead, Christ led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Well, guess what began to happen in Corinth? They, becoming so worldly about the ministry, began to desire that those, what they perceived as those gifts where the true power was found. And what began to happen is that many people began to artificially copy these things and take to themselves these supernatural sign gifts and were in the process had combining the world's wisdom of the mystery cult religions. In the process, they became cheap imitators of the world's version of apparently of these apparent supernatural gifts. And the consequence was it was disrupting and destroying the unity of the body. And they didn't see that. We looked at this last time. Tongue speaking was viewed as kind of the pinnacle or the one of the top of the gifts. And you see that to some degree today. It's not said as much as it used to be, but there was the thought that if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't genuinely saved. That was a position that was held some time ago by some. It was practiced in the culture itself of Corinth in ecstasy and became known as this ecstatic speech that was done. It wasn't just a church phenomenon. However, we'll look at what tongues were in the first century and we look at what happened in the book of Acts. That's coming. But there were certainly these supernatural gifts, these extraordinary, I should say, gifts in the first century. And what began to happen was Corinth looked nothing different than what they borrowed from the mystery cult religions. So everyone thought, wow, that guy right there, he's really spiritual. He's amazing. And then you had a host of artificial copycats come along and speak gibberish. And in the process, all the lesser gifts, those that were deemed not very glorious, not very helpful, not very inspiring, not very wow factor, lost all place in the church. Sad, isn't it? Thereby utterly disrupting and destroying the Lord's intention of how gifts work and how the body works together. And Paul is very concerned because the consequence of this abuse was chaos in church. It was chaos of leadership. It was chaos of worship. It was chaos in understanding why the extraordinary gifts were ever given in the first place. They didn't get it. And chaos is what followed in Corinth. Well, in our passage tonight, the apostle is correcting a wrong understanding of extraordinary gifts. And the goal of this is for every single person, and I think it's important to bring this home to us, every single person consider how important their gift is and use it with the intention that Christ gave it. That's the emphasis I want to stay with tonight. You all are spiritual. You all are given gifts, and you should use them. We started last time by looking at the ultimate test that Paul gave up front here, and it was a remarkable find for me. I like I said, I've never really spent a lot of time in this, and when he says right up front in verse 2 and 3, no one can say by the Holy Spirit Jesus is accursed, he was dealing with a real problem in Corinth. Whether that was hypothetical, I tend to think that this ecstasy and enthusiasm was so great, teachers could get away with saying that much heresy, but it felt so good, and it was so powerful, and they were so spiritual, they were the leaders, they got away with it. Unbelievable, isn't it? It's sad that you could feel so good singing and sing heresy. And that gave us some kind of segue into it last time. Well, here in verses 4 through 6, he begins to explain then how we should learn to appreciate the variety of gifts he uses. And the first thing he did there was say, Doctrine matters. The doctrinal test is where it all begins. Where do the gifts lead you doctrinally? What is being said? And I think you would always find in the history of the church that where there were an abuse of gifts, you would find a whole plethora of false teachings. So, in verse 4, now, he wants us to understand the value of variety of gifts. Notice what he says there in verse 4 of chapter 12. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And then he goes on, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Did you notice what he keeps emphasizing there? Variety, 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 three times to make the point. This is a God of variety in distribution of gifts. Variety basically means allotments or distributions. He says three different things about these varieties. There are varieties of gifts, there are varieties of ministries, and there are varieties of effects. Varieties of gifts. You see how beautiful the design here is of the Lord. If I were to go around tonight and ask you, what is your gift? In my experience, very few have been able to answer that. Never quite understood that. I've always wondered, why is it so hard when asked, what are your gifts, for people to answer that? And it may be for a variety of reasons. Maybe it's an overlap of many gifts that you have. But mainly it's, and I'm assuming this tonight, that mainly it's because when I say gifts, you're all thinking of natural talents. All of you have natural talents. If I went around and said to the cadets tonight, what are your natural talents? Some of you are going to be able to tie knots really well, aren't you? I couldn't do that. No. Some of you are going to be able to do things that, you know, and naturally, you're better with your hands than others. I've told you before, Darcy just gave up on asking me to do anything around the house. It all breaks. I can't even screw a light bulb in without it getting jammed in there. Have you ever heard it said that when the Bible talks about spiritual gifts, you're not really talking about talents? You may be. But gifts surely may be connected with talents, but they're not necessarily the same thing. What do I mean? Unbelievers have talents, don't they? Unbelievers have things they can do. I mean, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you can do things better than other people. I mean, that's important. Christians don't have the corner on talents because they're Christians. Unbelievers can do some things way better than us. But here's what I believe Paul's emphasizing. If you ever were to go back to the book of Ephesians and look at the teaching on gifts, it says something really beautiful about the distribution of gifts. It says when Christ ascended, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Supernatural endowments, many have described it as. Endowments from him. He saved us, the greatest gift being salvation. And then in his reign, he doesn't accept all the gifts. He gives gifts. He throws them down. He bestows them on us. He bestows gifts on us as a gift beyond salvation that you can take and use for the upbuilding and encouragement of the body. I mean, the word, the root for the word here for gift means grace. So the Lord lavishes down upon us gifts, specifically to be used for the building up of the body. Now, what Paul is saying here is that this, and in this entire chapter, makes this clear that no one is lacking in this and being given a gift. He specifically gives them so that you can have an active part in the building up of the church, the body. spiritual stones and the spiritual edifice. Isn't it remarkable? All of you on loan from him are given something to be used for the upbuilding of the body. Do you think like that? Maybe we're running around thinking it's all about talents. Something special from him. And the importance of this for now is to say, every one of you is given something. Every one of you. I'm going to address later how to think about that, how to move forward with that. I'm not doing that tonight. What I want to do tonight is say this. What it means is every single one of you are spiritual. You're vital to the project. You're important to the project. And notice he says here, there's a variety of gifts that he bestows, and then there's a variety of ministries where we get the word deacon. It means there are a variety of services among us. In other words, you could simply say, the Lord not only gives you the gifts, but he gives you a whole bunch of opportunities to use that gift. A variety of way and a creative way from the Lord. Now, notice it keeps saying, same Lord. He's the one giving all of this. He's the one providing all of this. The gift and the opportunities to use it, to you to use that gift. And then he says, a variety of activities for you to use it, which it really means workings or of effects. God empowers this. And God empowers the use of the gifts so that even the effects and the results and the fruits belong to him. That's what's happening. So God gives you gifts. God's giving you a variety of gifts, opportunities to use those gifts, and he's sovereignly in charge of the empowering of them and so that there is fruit bore. Some in the use of their gifts will see greater fruit because the empowering and the effects are his. I think it's encouraging. I mean, you've just been seeing this with Moses. The Lord comes to Moses and Moses doesn't want to do it. Moses doesn't want to go. He goes through a variety of excuses not to go. And remember what he said, Moses, you go. He says, you go, you speak. That was the gift. You're going to speak as a prophet. And he complains, well, I don't have the gift. I can't speak well. I can't. Listen, I will be with your mouth. And I'll teach you what you should say. I'll deal with that. I'll give you that. You just go. And then, Moses, I'm going to give you the service. You're going to go stand in the middle of Pharaoh's courts, and you're going to go stand in front of Israel, and you're going to say this. There's the service. And then, Moses, I tell you what, I will even empower it so that, here's the effect. Pharaoh will either harden or soften his heart depending upon me. And Moses, Israel will listen to your voice. You see it? The gift, the service, the effects. It's all there. Why is Paul explaining this tonight? Why do you need to understand that tonight? Well, think of the problem. What was everyone attracted to? Oh man, did you hear that guy speak in tongues? Wow! Did you see him heal? Did you see the working of miracles by that guy's hand? What's everyone attracted to? Sign gifts. Speaking in tongues and healings and miracles. Well, what did that create? Everyone began not only envying those gifts, but everyone began to think, well, there's the really spiritual people. What was the fruit of that? It created one of the greatest divisions possible in the life of the church. You say, how so? People stopped using the what they thought were lesser gifts, totally irrelevant and ineffective, they thought, and you had a host of people envying, and then people looking in awe at over the people who could do those gifts, and then you had a host of copycats. Listen, in a prosperous time like America, what do you get? A host of false teachers because they realize the potential of that. You start getting persecution, these guys are going to go away, I promise you. They're gone. The church gets more pure. Well, Corinth was in a time of affluence. They had looked so much like the world. All these guys saw a great opportunity in this. The church was falling apart because of the neglect of gifts that were meant to build up the church. And everyone sat there refusing to accept the gifts, the common or ordinary gifts that God had given them. They became idle. You know how much the New Testament talks about being idle? And the church was ripped apart in division. I think division sometimes is seen in all the wrong places. In other words, we don't really think about where division shows itself. They were looking for spirituality and power in the super spiritual things. Everyone wanted to be copycats of this. If it were in our context, the really popular churches would be those who have the greatest gifts, right? They would be those who have the most awe-inspiring things happening. What do we want? A church with the best musicians, a church with the best pastor who can inspire us, a church with the best building, the best programs, that which seems to create an outer feeling of power. And when you have a bunch of people caught up in that, what do they become? Spectators. We have forgotten Christ's intention for gifts. Paul keeps saying something here. Gifts are given for the common good.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.